Coming up on KUCB News, the City Council may change a policy affecting tax breaks for senior citizens, and a new report shows how women fishery observers encounter more harassment than men. Stay tuned.
Programming on KUCB is made possible by Redfish Electronics. Located in the Airport Cargo Building, Redfish sells computers, Androids, iPhones, iPads, televisions, headphones, and unlocked phones. Business hours can be obtained by calling 359-2205.
Redfish, we got stuff.
Good afternoon. You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM on Alaska. I'm Laura Craigle with some local news on Thursday, June 14th, 2018. Unalaska's clinic won't draw on emergency funds provided by the city, signaling a reversal of the organization's dismal financial situation. Illilook Family and Health Services was granted a $500,000 subsidy in November, as clinic officials anticipated another fiscal year with a steep budget shortfall. But on Tuesday, City Manager Thomas E. Thomas announced that the nonprofit won't need the money after all.
They've made some financial adjustments, but until last week he was able to finally tell me they won't need to draw down any of those funds.
Clinic Director James Keck is expected to provide a detailed update on operations at a City Council meeting in July. Since he assumed the top job last year, Keck has cashed in at least $200,000 worth of clinic investments in an effort to move the longtime financial loser out of the red. He's also revamped the fee schedule and billing system to encourage more Unalaskans to visit the local clinic, as opposed to practices in Anchorage and Seattle. He says his long-term goal is to turn the clinic into a solvent organization by increasing patient volume and thereby increasing revenue. After a handful of late filings, the City Council may introduce penalties for senior citizens who miss the application deadline for property tax exemptions. City Councilors approved the fifth late application of the year on Tuesday, ruling that medical treatment was an acceptable reason for one Unalaskan to miss the March deadline by almost 3 months. But overall, Vice Mayor Dennis Robinson said the council needs to consider changing its lenient policy after granting 10 late applications since 2014.
Every single year that we've done this, we've had a number of late filings. I know that some of the late filings have been denied, but we have set a precedence already in accepting them.
Councilors agreed to take a second look at their policy following a discussion about the time spent making individual rulings and the potential for inconsistency. They directed City Manager Thomas to consult with the city attorney and research how other communities handle the issue. While Thomas said he'll develop options to present before the council, Robinson suggested a sliding scale that would reduce the exemption depending on how late the application is. Currently, the city provides a tax exemption based on the assessed value of real property owned by Unalaskans age 65 and older. This year, the city estimates that the approval of five late applications will result in a loss of almost $8,000 in tax revenue. Women are harassed and fear for their safety much more than men when they work as fishery observers. That's according to a new report from the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. While it's a preliminary survey, KMXT's Dasha Eaton reports that it reveals stark differences for male and female observers.
Jacqueline Smith, a special agent for the NOAA Office of Law Enforcement in Anchorage, presented the report about sexual harassment of fishery observers to a meeting of the North Pacific Fishery Management Council in Kodiak on Thursday, June 7th. She presented some of the data that was compiled through an anonymous survey sent out to observers deployed in Alaska in 2016 and 2017. About 400 observers are employed in Alaska in any given year.
There were 20 questions that were asked about either safety or harassment, and I phrased it in ways that didn't come up with conclusions. I didn't ask them if they were sexually harassed. Rather, I asked them if they ever received unwanted, unwelcome comments of a sexual nature, or I asked them if they ever feared for their physical safety.
North Pacific groundfish and halibut fisheries observers are expected to accurately record sampling data, write reports, make observations of violations, and report suspected violations. Observers make sure boats are following required regulations while they're at sea, so they live aboard fishing boats with their crews, and a strong rapport with the fishermen they work alongside can really help observers do their job. But for women working as observers, this isolated environment can lead to uncomfortable or dangerous situations, according to the Observer Program's annual report. And almost half of all observers in Alaska are women. The survey's goal was to narrow down what observers were experiencing while working, says Smith.
2016, and these are all the positive responses that we got. There was 19% of the females who responded were made to fear for their physical safety in 2016 and 14 in 2017. Offensive comments made regarding age, sex, sexual orientation, religion, or race ethnicity, 43% and 10% in 2016, as opposed to 38% and 4% in 2017.
The fact that some observers feared for their safety is distressing, but Smith also pointed out that this kind of work environment doesn't allow women to do their jobs well.
There have been times where the observer's trying to do their sampling and a crew member might stand directly in front of them. Or there might be a bunch of things that are put onto the observer sampling station when the crew knows that the observer is about to conduct their sample that prevents them from accessing it. A lot of times it is a person actually standing in front of the observer preventing them from going where they need to go.
Smith presented the North Pacific Fishery Management Council with NOAA's survey at its recent meeting in Kodiak. The body acknowledged that male and female observers have very different experiences when out with crews and expressed support for more research into sexual harassment among observers. NOAA has seen a drop in reports of sexual harassment in 2017, a significant drop. There were 14 reports in 2016 and just 7 in 2017, which could indicate law enforcement and industry efforts to educate and prevent sexual harassment could be working. Smith acknowledged, though, that because victims can lose trust in the government, their employers, and law enforcement, they may not report experiences such as sexual harassment to authorities. One of the goals of the survey is to find out what the barriers are to reporting such incidents. 21 females and 31 males responded from the 2016 cohort, and 21 females and 26 males from the 2017 cohort. The results of the survey are preliminary, and NOAA Law Enforcement plans to continue conducting it for several more months. The final report is scheduled to be released during the December meeting of the North Pacific Fishery Management Council. In Kodiak, I'm Daisha Eaton.
Governor Bill Walker signed into law state budget bills yesterday, but rejected funding for a South Central Bridge project and a vitamin D deficiency study. Walker vetoed $2.5 million for the dormant Kinnick Arm Crossing project. He also cut a roughly $500,000 study aimed at determining the prevalence of vitamin D deficiencies in pregnant women and babies. Walker says a similar study is already ongoing. He did, however, sign legislation calling for limited structured draws from Alaska Permanent Fund earnings to help pay for state government. Walker's budget director says Alaska's deficit has shrunk to about $700 million, which would be covered with savings. Still, oil prices will influence the ultimate size of that deficit. The new fiscal year starts July 1st. Meanwhile, Standard & Poor's has improved its outlook on the state's bonds from negative to stable. The rating agency made the change in response to that new state law, the one that will draw money from permanent fund earnings to pay for Alaska's government. The improved outlook means the S&P no longer expects to lower the state's credit rating, which affects how much the state must pay to those who buy Alaska bonds. In other words, the lower the rating, the more the state must pay to borrow money. S&P analysts cited the new law as one of several factors that led to Alaska's improved credit rating. Higher oil prices also contributed. And that's the news from Unalaska. I'm Laura Craigle, and you're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM. Find us online at kucb.org, and please stay tuned for your local and marine weather forecasts.